Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, new cell phone law affects Maryland drivers.
Heard of the Red Hue Boutique? You're not alone.
How are students staying fit on campus?
And yet another honor for men's basketball coach Gary Williams. Terp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition and our first show of the semester. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. Maryland is following in the footsteps of Virginia, D.C., and many other states, now that a new hands-free law was put into effect Friday, October 1st. The new law is intended to force drivers to pay attention to the road.
Do you sneak a peek at your phone when you stop at a red light or pick up a ringing phone while you're driving? A ban that took effect last year prohibits drivers from writing messages to friends, but allows them to read a message and hold a phone to talk while driving. Governor O'Malley signed a new law that took effect on Friday, stating that all Maryland drivers are prohibited from using a cell phone without a hands-free device while operating a motor vehicle. The first offense for talking on a cell phone while driving receives a fine of $40. Any offense after that will cost the driver $100. This new law is a secondary offense, meaning that a driver must be doing something else wrong, like speeding or reckless driving, to be ticketed for a cell phone. Even though this new law should make the roads safer, Maryland student Rachel
either they're
Vesica
not going to be able to enforce it at all
the
because it
affects
the secondary
laws.
Law, or they're going to start over enforcing other things in order to try and enforce it. So, like, some typically you wouldn't be pulled over for going 5 miles over the speed limit, but I think that now since there's something else you can get in trouble for, they might over enforce other laws that they wouldn't normally.
Another driving law being highly considered is texting while driving. The Maryland State Legislature is trying to close the loophole in the texting law. They are considering making it illegal to read a text message while operating a car instead of just not being able to write one. Many young drivers, including Maryland student Kate Brownstein, thinks it is already too late for them to start abiding by this law.
I probably won't abide by it because it's still a secondary law. And knowing myself, I text too much to stop in the car, and I do it while I drive, which is really dangerous, and I should stop, but I probably won't stop.
Drivers who are caught could receive a fine of up to $500. Texting while driving could cause problems for drivers, but has also caused problems for pedestrians who don't watch where they are walking. Terp Weekly Edition's Beth Swartz has more on how students are walking safely.
With more on safety, off-campus students will soon be able to breathe a little easier when walking home at night. Thanks to a $500,000 state grant, 19 security cameras will be strategically placed along College Avenue and Calvert and Knox roads. More than half of the cameras are already installed, and the remaining cameras will be placed in locations where a group of Gemstone students have found them to be most effective. University police say that crime is down overall, but many students still have doubts. Perhaps these cameras will change that.
Next to come on Terp Weekly Edition, unhappy with your major? We could have the solution for you.
And still curious about that Red Hue Boutique? Find out after the break.
This is Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Emily Groh.
And I'm Corey Gallagher. Have you ever thought it was hard to find that awesome internship or had trouble locating the perfect job? You're not alone. Everyone dreads their senior year of college. There is uncertainty over jobs, loads of competition, and the one word no underclassman wants to hear, responsibility. the party is literally over. For some, it means moving home, back in with parents, pets, and those respectful younger siblings. Those ambitious enough will get jobs or additional experience to pursue their ideal career, but that is easier said than done. Thanks to the University Career Center and the President's Promise, campus hosted its Fall Career and Internship Fair last Wednesday, September 29th to Friday, October 1st. This event, which was held in Stamp Student Union, brought hundreds of employers to UMD, like Target representative Michelle Doan.
Students that are well-rounded, we're not looking for a specific major or anything, so it's not business majors exclusive. We're just looking for students who are motivated, bright, and have the potential to succeed.
With the job market so competitive today, employers have found that College Park students are some of the tops in the country. According to a September ranking by Forbes magazine, UMD is 8th in the country as a favored source for graduate hires. Alumni employer Alexander Portillo agrees.
And alumni has done well in those positions that they researched on, so we look forward to see it, University of Maryland students.
But what makes UMD graduates among the best in the nation? Alex Gorlick of NAVAIR says it's all in the preparation.
Certainly I've had a lot of educational experiences in my business classes that I've taken here, and I feel like a lot of them I've seen later on, you know, I've seen the stuff that I've learned about in classes in real life.
Preparing for jobs is important, but nailing the interview is just as crucial. Students like senior mechanical engineering major Seth McBee have been practicing since they were freshmen.
I've done all right in the past in terms of looks, but I'm really getting some exposure to some companies. Now that I'm going out into the real world doing all that, really trying to focus and really narrow down my search. So I'm a lot more prepared for this time, but I've always enjoyed myself going here, get some free stuff.
Free stuff is always good, but landing an interview can be easier than you think thanks to this semester's career fair.
I've gotten a few interviews I have one actually this afternoon from going to it yesterday. So it's been a pretty good experience.
In College Park, I'm Corey Gallagher, Terp Weekly Edition.
Some students enter college knowing exactly what they want to major in, but others aren't so lucky. Senior Scott Burke transferred to University of Maryland 2 years ago, thinking he wanted to major in economics. But soon, he realized that he hated it.
There was too much math involved. It wasn't the same as what I thought it was when I was taking it at a community college.
So he switched his major, but he isn't satisfied with this one either.
The only thing I had available to me that I could still graduate on time with was to do criminal justice. So I took that, and it's a pretty easy major. I don't really have to concentrate on much because every class is pretty much the same.
So what do you eventually want to do?
I want to work in the private consulting company business, yeah.
Junior Stacy Culver is a psychology major, but her career goals have nothing to do with psychology.
I have no idea what I want to do with the major, actually. I'm thinking about going into like some kind of advertising kind of thing, but I have no idea.
Is grad school on your mind?
Not currently, but I don't know. Things might change. Who knows?
It may take years to choose a career path. For Kristen Pinto, it took 17 years to realize that she wanted to study psychology. She originally majored in English.
Well, I graduated in 93, and I just came back this year. I did something else for like almost 20 years, and I've always wanted to do psychology, so I quit my job and came back to school.
Pamela Allen from the University Career Center gives indecisive students advice.
You need to do a self-assessment. We have formal self-assessments. We have one that's offered through the Career Center called Focus. And then they can also go to the Counseling Center. But if not, telling them that they can also look at things in a graduate school program.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Cindy Lee in College Park.
While many students are still figuring out their career plans, Faye Koya had a chance to talk to a recent college grad about her up-and-coming business in College Park.
This skirt, which I love, it's called
When Sylvia Huzo talks about the clothes in her store, it's almost as if she's talking about one of her close friends.
This is by Dainty June. Love Dainty June. Love, love, love Dainty June.
She's been a fashion lover since high school.
I just hate it that everyone dressed the same, wore the same, you know, the Jordans and the tight jeans and the black t-shirt. So I was like, no, I don't want that look. And I started going to thrift stores, just putting stuff together. And then I had this idea, okay, what if I make my own clothes? Then I'll really be different.
Now 23, she says some are skeptical because of her age.
It's like, you know what? No, because I understand like what it is to work hard. So we have some vintage stuff here.
Right here, some beaded necklaces. And this one is actually handmade.
Originally from El Salvador, she started her own label, Red Hue, a name that comes from her favorite color.
When I was in high school, I dyed my hair bright red.
And the first three letters of her last name.
My designs are youthful. And so I thought, okay, well, somewhere where young people are always at, hello, a college town. Also because there's nothing else here.
If I shop around College Park, it's only at Target.
I'll go into Rugged, but probably will never buy anything. There's no good stores in College Park. I usually go to the mall at home.
I'd like some variety.
Red Hue Boutique, right next to RJ Bentley's, has been open since May, but is off students' radar.
It's the location. Gotta come down the, you know, that little flight of stairs to be able to see all the cute things we have in here. Are you gonna go to Rugged Warehouse? Probably not. You know, if you're looking for a dress to go out with your friends or whatever, you know you're not gonna go there. Because you're not gonna find it. You'll find a t-shirt and good for you, but you're not gonna find, you know, a cute dress.
This one sits at your natural waist.
Yeah, so that.
So we try to treat our customers
very special, and we will bring clothes to you if you're, you know, if you're trying them on, and because you know it's a boutique, it's a small store, and you get a service as well.
The black one was too short though.
Okay. Should have came out. I wanted to see.
Oh.
Yuzo's priority is her customer. 10% off with a student ID, 30 on rainy days, and her advice is always free of charge.
Public service announcement. Do not wear leggings with a short t-shirt.
But the best advice she can give has nothing to do with fashion at all.
I have a bumper sticker on my dresser mirror. It says, follow your dreams. And that's what I do every single day. I just go for my dreams. So everybody else should too.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Faye Koya in College Park.
Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, students find new ways to shed the extra weight.
And a popular cartoon character turns 10. We'll tell you who after the break.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. In our next story, Camille Bufano gives us the skinny on how students are avoiding the dreaded freshman 15.
Many students who move onto campus expect to expand their knowledge, not waistlines. The freshman 15, which now is more like the freshman 5, has been a campus nightmare to many. Freshman Centerville resident Kevin learned by example.
I know a lot of my friends who actually came here, who are actually like sophomores, juniors now, who actually did gain a lot of weight from just like dieting plan and lack of exercise. So I am a believer of the freshman 15.
Freshman nutrition major Melanie realized the challenges of eating healthy after observing others on campus.
Like when I got here, I'm like, that would never happen to me. Like, I'm like, are you kidding? And then you get here and like realize that like, oh, that's why people, you know, are out late.
Freshman15.com is a website created by a college graduate, Chris Phillips, who wanted to inform students and help prevent the unwanted first semester weight gain. Former Freshman 15 victims share stories and answer frequently asked questions about the topic. According to the website, the top causes for the extra pounds are lack of exercise, eating late at night, keeping unhealthy snacks on hand, drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, and eating unhealthy cafeteria food. Living on campus, students are required to have a dining plan, and eating healthy is one of the biggest challenges.
The salad bar is rather repetitive.
It's the same thing every day.
The healthy food tastes kind of bad. It's easier to eat like greasy, like unhealthy food, because it's just there's so many options for unhealthy food and limited options for healthy food.
Bad eating habits don't pair well with exercise, but working out in a group has become more of an incentive for gym goers.
Sometimes we go as a floor or just a group of friends.
Oh.
I do have a really like athletic friends that motivate me to go because I feel bad if I don't go and they just go and work out.
All my roommates do it and all my friends on my floor. It's a great way to meet people that come regularly.
The University of Maryland offers nutritional services at the health center, free group fitness classes at 4 locations, and many clubs and organizations which include sports and recreation. But communication to freshmen seems to be a big problem.
I haven't really encountered freshman friendly activities on campus.
I think my RA might have mentioned something like the first day, but besides that, I don't really know.
When I was a freshman, I didn't hear that much. It isn't until like now in my sophomore year that I'm hearing a lot more things and taking advantage of things.
Many students are still finding various outputs to stay active on campus.
I'm trying to do boxing club.
I'm up for trying anything that I'm sweating and moving.
Sophomore Miera and freshman Kevin offer advice for other students to get motivated.
Don't stress over it too much. If you gain a pound, okay. If you're gaining a whole lot of weight, then you should worry, but just breathe, relax, you'll be fine.
Start out with friends. It's just easier that way to get into it. That's how I got into Zumba.
If their tips don't get your adrenaline pumping, find out what Latin aerobic dance craze has students lining up.
Another Latin sensation sweeping the nation is a young 7-year-old cartoon character celebrating her 10th anniversary. Jesse Brecker with more on the story.
While most college students won't admit that this theme song is familiar, or that they've seen an episode of Dora the Explorer, they can't deny that they at least know who Dora is. The name Carlos Cortez is not so familiar. For the past 10 years, Carlos has acted as a creative and cultural advisor to the Nickelodeon cartoon sensation. Although Carlos is behind the scenes, he is certainly at the forefront of the multicultural elements that are so ingrained in Dora's message. I sat down with Carlos to discuss some of these important ideas. As a bilingual Chicana, Dora shows kids today the advantages of being able to speak two languages.
Dora is a superior character because she is not trapped in her monolingual category.
While Dora has certainly taught her viewers about diversity, she has been a target for criticism and even discrimination. Dora has especially been placed in the middle of the illegal immigrant issue that continues to have a tremendous impact on today's society, many even painting Dora as an illegal immigrant herself.
She became symbolic, and because of who she is, people read into her what they want to read into her. I mean, one thing we never have said in the entire show is that Dora is an immigrant.
In addition, this childhood icon has also faced negative stereotyping. After an interview with ABC's Nightline, Carlos was shocked by some of the responses.
One in particular, the posting said, "By the time Dora turns 13, she'll be pregnant and have an anchor baby."
While Dora is definitely a controversial character, Carlos argues that her presence is essential to our youth today.
Hopefully, kids who have grown up with Dora are more inquisitive about the world around them, are more open to new experiences, and are more open to people who come from different backgrounds than their own. That's my hope.
Dora may only be a 7-year-old girl, but she is certainly wise beyond her years. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Jesse Brecker in College Park.
Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, we had a chance to accompany Gary Williams as he accepted his latest award.
This is Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Corey Gallagher.
And I'm Emily Groh. A new NCAA rule will require student athletes deemed to be at risk of having sickle cell anemia to be identified by universities. Those who test positive will be monitored more closely for life-threatening conditions caused by physical activity. Student athletes carrying the sickle cell gene will be allowed to request a modified schedule that allots more time for hydration and rest. Sickle cell testing is nothing new to student athletes at Maryland. The university began testing at-risk athletes in 2005 and expanded that policy to all athletes in 2007.
Maryland men's basketball coach Gary Williams was inducted into the University of Maryland Athletics Hall of Fame in 1999 and the university's Alumni Hall of Fame in 2005. Terp Weekly Edition's Brian Kaufman was in Baltimore for Williams' most recent honor.
Entering his 22nd season at the helm of the Maryland basketball program, Coach Gary Williams has plenty of accolades. Add to that Sports Legend Museum Hall of Legends inductee, joining the likes of Babe Ruth and Johnny Unitas. The induction ceremony gave friends, colleagues, and former players, including Steve Francis, the opportunity to reflect on their memories of Coach Williams.
When I walked into Coach's office and told him I decided I was going to go to the NBA, and he ducked his head down, and it was a five-hour talk. So that was the most memorable moment for me. Not a game, but the personal one-on-one with Coach Williams was the best for me.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright.
I've known Gary on probably every level. I played at Bucknell when he coached at American, and I was amazed as a player at how intense and fiery he was. And then as a young coach, I kind of idolized him. You looked up to him. We all respected him. And then we've become friends over the years. And I just think the world of him as a coach, as a man, and someone that's just really respected by everyone.
University of Minnesota head coach Tubby Smith.
There are certain people that you say Gary, and the first, but you don't have to have a last name like Michael. You know, Michael Jordan. You said Tiger, but when you say Gary in the coaching profession, you think of Gary Williams.
ESPN analyst and former Duke star Jay Billis.
When he took the program over in 89-90, it was at perhaps its lowest point. And I'm not sure how many coaches would have taken that challenge on. You know, he didn't need to. He had a great job at Ohio State. But he came back, and the job he's done is absolutely amazing. I mean, there's no other program has been as consistent as Maryland, with the exception of Duke and Carolina, the sort of the entrenched power in the league. And nobody's fought them like he has, and it's been amazing.
The time finally came for the man himself to take the mic.
To be honored in what I call my home state now, and to be with people that I really respect in sports, this is certainly a great night for me.
After all the years, one memory stands out specifically in Williams' mind.
It's hard to go and say that this moment was any better than another moment, except for the national championship.
Coach Williams usually reflects the spotlight. Jay Wright said he never talks about himself ever. But for one night, he's the man everyone is talking about. In Baltimore, I'm Brian Kaufman, Terp Weekly Edition.
That's all for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Emily Groh.
And I'm Corey Gallagher. We'll be back next week with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.